Corinthians in chapter number 14. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 14. And we're continuing to look at Paul as he is trying to put this church in order. And we said that verse 14 kind of puts the things that he's saying in chapter 12, 13, and 14 kind of wraps it all up by saying, let all things be done decently and in order. And certainly, as we are looking at these this chapter, we've said we're going to be looking at order in the church. And I know these are familiar to us, but I'm trying to do them a little bit more systematically than I've preached them here in the past. But at the same time, I do believe this, that the main thought of this chapter that Paul is trying to relate to each and every one of us is that when we come to church, when we come to gather together in the house of God, we need to ask ourselves this question: to whom do we desire to edify? Who did I show up here tonight to see edified? And we looked at last week the idea of self-edification or the idea of edifying the church, and the difference was in the activity. The difference was in the activity that was chosen to do for them. It was whether they spoke in tongues or whether they prophesied. And Paul is trying to help them understand that what they should desire after, what they should seek after, is that they might be able to edify the church. That they don't come here for the purpose of edifying self through their activity, but they, through their activity, would be promoting the edification of the body that Christ has brought together. So if you would stand with me in honor of God's word, we're just going to read six verses. I understand we have a meeting that we're going to discuss some missions stuff at, and so that's a blessing, and we'll have time for that. And then supposedly we're going to have choir practice as well, if we get out of here on time. And so I was wanting to push a little further, but we're gonna look at just six quick verses this evening here, verses number 6 through 12 tonight. But let's begin reading in verse number 1 again, just to remind us where we've been. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. That's the purpose of why he does it. It edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. I think that's such an amazing statement that Paul is making for us to be mindful of when we consider what we do and why we do it. Because Paul said that person that comes for the purpose of self-edification is lower, is not as great as that person that comes for the edification of the church. You say, well, they seem to stand out more than other people. They seem to get more opportunities than other people. Not all of the Spirit of God. Let's be mindful of that. People can be very self-promoting in the house of God, and what they're doing has nothing to do with the leadership of the Spirit of God whatsoever. We need to be mindful of that, and that's what we need to be rather going after, is that we might be able to edify one another through the prophesying of the Word of God. Now, verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? It is a great question, and the reality is this: all of those four things we find where? The Word of God. That's where we would find everyone. We would find revelation of God, knowledge of God, prophesying of God, doctrine of God, right within His Word. That's where we would find those things. And even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we ask you just would be with us this evening. I pray you just watch over this congregation. Lord, I pray that you just would help us to have a desire tonight, Lord, that we might be able to edify one another. And God, it's your word and the prophesying of your word, Lord, that helps us to have profitable communication. And Lord, I pray that we would be desirous that we might be able to communicate the word of God to one another in what we say, in what we do, and how we act. Lord, would you help us to communicate the word of God through from our life to the lives of others that we might be able to be edified? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We talked last week about the need to speak the truth of God's word into one another's lives. And God desires in the church coming together that we would be built up. That's what God's desire for us here tonight is, that we would leave here built up, that we would leave here edified, that we would leave here encouraged to do the work of the Lord and to live out the Word of God in our lives. It's important that we would not just know the truth, but that we would put the truth into practice. And I get to edify you unto love and to good works, and you as well get to edify me. And the goal is that we would all edify one another unto love and good works. And we talk sometimes of that edification is not going to be as comfortable as other times. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. I don't know if you've ever taken two pieces of iron and beat them against each other, but it's clamorous. Sometimes it's loud. I can imagine if we took iron, and you can imagine if I was to take an iron rod or a piece of iron and hit you with it. Come on. Or you were to hit me with it. It might leave a welt. It might hurt. And we understand this, that God desires that we would take His Word and that we would sharpen one another with it, and that we would prepare one another with it, and that we would help one another with it. That might be, just from time to time, that I get my toes stepped on, right? And that someone speaks truth into my life, and truth that I'm not following, truth that I'm not abiding by, truth that I have not allowed to be predominant in my life. And it might mean that it might hurt just a little bit, but it's for the use of edification. When we think about, we'll talk about this more next week as we get in, but when we talk about edifying and the work of edifying, it means to build up. And the reality is that takes some tools. Right? Edifying, to build something up. It takes some saws and some hammering, and there's going to be have some things that are going to be removed. There's going to have to be some things that are going to be beaten to place. I've never built something, but that it didn't take one piece of one tool hitting on another thing, right? And so edification, it takes work, it's labor, it's going to cause us to labor. And God wants us to be edified through His Word. The Word of God has come into our lives and is supposed to be spoken by us to one another so that we might build one another up. And the church at Corinth was contentious and puffed up, which caused strife. They had noise going on, and they had some construction going on, but they were more tearing one another down than they were building one another up. They were more to the hurt of one another than they were to the help of one another, and everyone was out to get their own and to build up themselves. They were taking from others that they might be able to add to themselves instead of taking from themselves to add to others, and they were interested in what was profitable to them That is why we would find this misuse of tongues that was among them. Their use of tongues was not profitable at all. God wants the gifts that He has given us to profit, though, with all. He desires that the gifts that He's given unto this church and to every church are for the profit with all. That's what it said at the beginning in chapter number 12, in verse number 7, when He began to talk to them about their spiritual gifts. He said this in chapter 12, verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, to profit with all, not just one individual who comes and put on a performance of their spiritual gifts is to be profited, but all are to be profited by the gifts that God has given. It's not about me coming and tooting my own horn. All right, it's about me coming and edifying the body with the gifts God has given me. The idea of the building up with all is that it's not one individual that is being built up, but all individuals as they come here are to be built up. And I need different building than maybe you do. We're different, if you haven't noticed that before. And what I have need of, you might not have need of. But God has made it to so that the gifts that are present here in this local body are for the purpose of edifying you. When somebody says, "Man, I'm just not getting out of church what I want to get out of church. And the preacher does not feed me. And the people, they aren't kind to me." Understand with me, I'm dare tell you this, that if you've gotten yourself to that place, you've gotten yourself where you no longer desire to be edified by the Word of God. If the Word of God is being preached, it's profitable with all. And if someone is speaking the Word of God into your life, it's profitable. But many times people take a deaf ear and they're tired of listening. "I'm not listening to that preacher any longer. I'm not listening to those people any longer. I'm not going to be told what to do any longer." That's a dangerous place to be. And the fact is, it doesn't matter where you go to church, you're taking that attitude with you. And there's no one that's going to help you if you're not going to allow the Word of God to help you. That doesn't mean that every time everybody does anything around here, they're speaking truth. And we talked about that last week a little bit, right? We need to be careful that just because, "Man, I think I know what their problem is," you better know that you have the Word of God. God has not made us to go around and say, God has put me here to correct everybody's problem. I can't even correct all my own problems. Right? And neither can you. I dare say I'm probably not going to correct all yours either. And so God hasn't put me here as a spiritual correctus police. All right? But He has left us here that my goal and my desire is that I might be able to take the Word of God and impart the truths of the Word of God unto you, that you might be built up, not of me and not of my gifts, but of God. Of God. And so it's to profit with all. It's not to profit just me. And Paul, in our text in verse number 6, examines the profit of our communication. He begins to examine the profit of our communication. He says, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? What shall I profit you? If I come and I speak something for self-edification, if I come doing something for myself, if the activity that I'm engaging in is not about you, it's about me. And me being edified and me being built up, then guess what? I'm profiting you nothing. I'm profiting you nothing. I haven't advantaged you in any way." And he says, "Tongues or self-edification is exercised to no profit to anyone but the one who is exercising the tongues, the one who is speaking at the time, the one who is taking that activity of self-edification is the only individual that is being edified." It's kind of like when you go over to the Sermon on the Mount, and in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "Listen, if you do your alms to be seen of men, you got your reward. If you pray to be seen of men, you've got your reward. If you fast to be seen of men, you have your reward. You got exactly what you were after." And when we do things in our activity of our spiritual life and with our spiritual gifts for the purpose of self-edification, friend, listen, you got your reward. You got your reward. The idea is that it is profitless to no one but the individual that is being that individual that is doing the activity. But sharing the revelation of God, The knowledge of God, the prophesying of God, the doctrine of the Word of God with one another, listen to me, is profitable. Paul is trying to help us understand that if we'll take the things that God has given us, if God has given us knowledge, if God has given us wisdom, if God has given us a divine word, or God has given us doctrine, it's profitable for all. The same doctrine that's profitable for me is profitable for you. The same preaching and prophesying and divine word of God that is profitable for me is profitable for you. God's wisdom profits all of us. God's knowledge profits all of us, not just one of us. It profits anyone who will hear and will act upon it. It profits everyone. I'm to be built up in the Word of God and by the Word of God. This is the type of communication that builds up the body of Christ. That's why the preaching of the Word of God is to be preeminent among the people of God. It's not secondary to anything. I'm for the music program being good and vibrant and for it to be encouraging. But I'm telling you what, it's not like, man, we have a good music program and the preaching and teaching of God's Word, and they're just co-equals. I understand they're both important, but friend, listen to me. God has exalted the prophesying and the teaching and the understanding of His Word above everything. I didn't say that, listen, the best praise team and the best worship music is forever settled in heaven. No. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Therefore, it is preeminent above all, both here and into eternity. We might rather be getting a little bit used to and a little bit excited about the reality of this, that it is God's Word that will last forever. Yeah. For good music. But it's not forever. Communication is important. How and what we communicate is important. It's very important. In verses 7 through 8, he talks about things without life, even things without life giving sound. And he uses a pipe, or if we can say this, a horn. That's why I said we're not here to toot our own horn, right? But he says a pipe or a harp. He says everything, even things without life, can communicate, and they do give sound. And he is in references to this pipe or the harp. And he uses them as musical instruments. And we need to understand this, and we'll get in, Lord willing, more of this next week, that music communicates. Music communicates. The type of music we use communicates something. The fashion in which we portray our music, it communicates something. And when we look at this later on down in the chapter, he gets into he talks about singing down in verse number 15. And he's talking about how it must be done with understanding and that it must be discerning. It must be discerning. Not for you and I, but more importantly for the unbeliever and the unlearned needs to be discerned. And so these things without life, such as the pipe and the harp, they communicate. They can be used for communication. And so he says in verse number 8, for instance, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? And you can understand this even in our modern day military on an outpost. They will use maybe a bugler that'll call reveille, or they'll have some kind of a sound system that'll make some kind of a dun 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 dun, dun, and everybody knows, hey, it's time to get up, get dressed, and in 45 seconds, and we got to be at attention here. Before the sarge walks in, or they'll use a trumpet for calling for it's time to eat, it's time to get up, it's time to sleep, it's time to go to battle, it's time to retreat. All different ways in which they would use a trumpet to communicate, and it talks about in this verse number 7 that there is to be a distinction of sound. A distinction of sound. Even things without life giving sound, whether piped or harp, except they give a distinction of sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? They need to be distinct. It's not to be just whatever the bugler wants to play on that day. If we all got together and I was to come over and say, hey, Miss Rochelle is not going to be playing the piano today. I'm going to be the stand-in today. I'm going to share my gift with you of piano playing. I hope you enjoy it. vastly less impressive than my wife, I know. There's no distinction at all. It's randomness. It's random notes. All right? It's not, we can say this, there's no discernment in it at all. The idea of something being distinct, all right, is with variation or difference. It's not just noise being made. It's with variation and difference. And so here's the reality, that some people can make variation and difference, and some people can make noise. Olivia can come up here, and she could pound out some notes. Go ahead, show them. Anything. I can't do. I'm impressed that she can do this. What is that? What can wash away my sin? Nothing. I mean, it didn't take much, right? Just a few individual notes played. But understand, there's a difference between that and noise. Thanks, honey. There's a difference between that and just going over and just plunking away. No. There were some distinct notes that were hit. And as distinct notes were hit and identified to the ear, we knew exactly what it was that was being played. There was distinction to it, right? There's distinction to it. As opposed to that which is uncertain, that would be my playing. I have no idea. I'm impressed that she got over there by ear one day. I was walking through the living room and she's over there playing by ear. And I said, man, that's awesome. I'm so happy you can do that. Because I'm telling you, I don't hear it at all. If I sit down at a piano, it's very uncertain. It means to be hidden, to be indistinctive. It means to appear not. There's nothing apparent to it. The idea of men going to war is given. This loud trumpet would be given. The idea of a harp being played with certain notes to communicate, or a trumpet being played to communicate to soldiers so that they would know what they are to do and when they are to do it. If I was to go and play on that harp, you'd have no idea what we were singing. As opposed to just someone with just rudimentally knowing where the notes are, giving us distinction, yeah, right, of what it is that we are doing. Distinction would bring order. When something is distinct, it brings order. When something is uncertain, it would proceed with chaos. I mean, can you imagine if we just got up there and the clamor that would be if I was to begin to play on the piano and say, okay, I have no idea what song I'm playing. So you just do your best guess. We're all just going to sing at the same time as I play. And as I give uncertain notes, you're uncertain about the song. You just sing whatever comes to your heart. Somebody might be singing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, and somebody might be singing Boogie Woogie Choo Choo Train. I don't know. Probably not. But listen, God expects there to be distinction. And I don't think it's any curiosity at all that he would use instruments. In our day and time, the reality is this. We have far greater problem with instruments being used incorrectly in the house of God than we do with tongues in our day and time. Singing and such like that. when we consider it with, in light of verse number 40, let all things be done with decency and order. The church which we would the church that which they were in would communicate with no distinction at all, but with uncertainty. The problem in which they were doing it for was because they had all shown up for the wrong purpose. They had shown up for the edification of self instead of the edification of the church. They were in confusion. They were in disarray. Get this, everything we do communicates something. It communicates something. If you do not believe me about that, you need to get married and then you'll find it out very soon. Very quickly. Everything. Why did you slam the door? I didn't slam the door. Yeah, you did. You slammed the door when you were walking out. I didn't mean to slam the door. Why are you angry? I'm not angry. Come on. We pick up on it all the time. On one another by even nonverbal communication, don't we? Nonverbal communication, we pick it up and we can see things that are going on, and our attitudes communicate things. Our attitudes, without even using words, they communicate something. Our indifference can communicate things. Our intent can communicate things, why we do things. Church, we should be purposeful in our communication. We should be very purposeful in our communication. Let's not waste our opportunity in communication. As we come together, let it not be as it says in verse 9, for ye speak into the air. They were just doing things because it was what they wanted to do and saying things because it was what they wanted to say, but it profited no one at all. It was a complete waste of everyone's time. And no one was being edified but the individual. In verse number 10, we understand this. All voices communicate something. We better be careful what voices we use. When the idea of it being with signification, that is not saying all voices are significant. It's saying that all voices are known. Being significant would be different than signification. And it says that all voices are not without, none of them is without signification. There's not one voice that is used that is not known. And as we choose to communicate, it is going to be known what we are communicating. That's why it's important that we would be distinct in what we communicate. Because it's going to be known. That's why it'd be important when it comes to what instruments we use and how we use the instruments we do use in the house of God. Because our instrumentations, even without life, communicate just as much as our tongues can communicate. We understand in verse number 11. Verse number 11. Therefore, if I know not what the meaning of the voice... I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. A barbarian is one whose speech is rude, rough, or harsh. That's what a barbarian is. One that in their speaking. When I go down to Mexico here in a few weeks, I'm going to feel like a barbarian as I try to speak Spanish, Spanglish in that, and they're going to try to speak Inglés to me, and it's going to be poor communication without an interpreter. It's going to be poor communication. Webster says this about a barbarian. A barbarian is a savage, is one who is rude. It is one who is uncivilized. Do you understand? When we come to the house of God, and when we gather together, and the purpose for you gathering together with the body that God has made you a part of is for your own selfishness and for your own purposes and for your own, listen, for your own edification. You've come into a place and you've been acting rudely. You've been acting uncivilized. You're acting in a manner that is not conducive to us being able to properly communicate. You say, well, what's wrong? I think everyone around here should understand this, that it's all about me. No, if we could come together, we'd be all fine and our communication would be fine if the person next to me and the person across the aisle understood this one thing, that when we come here, it's all about... No. See, what you're creating is discord. What you're creating is confusion. What you're creating is uncertainty, not distinctness. And when we come together, it's not that I might be able to be a barbarian and speak as I want to and act as I want to and look as I want to and do everything the way I want it because it's all about me. I'm to come together for the purpose of edifying, which means that I'm going to put me aside. I'm going to be concerned with you. That's what the idea of coming together for the edification of the church is. It's not about what I come here for, what I get out of this place. It is that I come to the house of God so that I might be able to offer unto those believers that have gathered together in this place things that would be good for their building up, things that would be good for their edification, things that would allow their spiritual lives to be enhanced, not to the purpose of showing off my own spiritual life. It's the wrong purpose for which we would gather. And listen, everyone just comes and does what makes them feel good is not going to cause a church to have unity of the Spirit of God. It's not going to have a church that's going to be distinct in what they were doing. In fact, it is not to be an expression of self at all when we come to the house of God. And many times that is exactly what takes place when people gather themselves together in the house of God. And the problem, and we're going to look at this as we get a little further down, is that people are going to that come in that are unlearned and that are unbelieving are going to come into a group of people that have come together for the purpose of self-edification and for the purpose of doing things their own way, and their idea is not going to be that God is in that place. According to verse number 23, their idea is that they're crazy. We've looked at that numerous times. Over and over, we've looked at that. It's not an expression of self, which... And the reality is this, if church was not an expression of self, it would eliminate a lot of Christian pop culture that goes on today. If we realize that church is not about me, it's about you. Church is not about me showing off my gift. It's about me using my gift to build you up. It's not about me coming and edifying myself. It's about me coming and edifying you. In verse number 12, he says this, "Even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church, that you may abound, that there be abundance, that there would be increase, enough and to spare. That's the idea of excelling. And what there should be enough and to spare is the building up of brothers and sisters at the church that we came together for the purpose that I might be able to edify you, and you came for the purpose of edifying me, and we speak the word of God to one another, and we encourage one another in the word of God, and we encourage one another to walk in the Word of God and to be ordered in our life by the Word of God. Church is not about you. It's about edifying others. I'm telling you, that's a hard lesson to learn. And that's a hard thing because people are going around looking for the church that fits them. No, come on. I'm telling you, we have a seeker-sensitive movement, and it's been around for years now, that people are going around, and they're looking for the church that fits their needs. They're looking for the church that fits, well, their ideas. They're looking for the church that fits their appetite. They're looking for the church that is going to offer them what they desire and what they want. And friend, listen to me. That's not the purpose of church at all. Yeah. It's a hard lesson to learn that life is not about you. It's not about me either. Listen, life is from God, and life is to be lived about God. Did you hear me? Life is from God. Our lives are to be lived about God, not about my personal preferences, my personal desire, my amazing gifts, my amazing ability. No. Not about what I want, but about what God desires, about what God wants. And God wants to use me and you to help Him be seen, not use me to help me be seen. It's not about you, it's about others. It's not about you tooting your own horn, but you doing all to the edifying of the church. Two questions, I'll be done. We ought to ask ourselves before we do anything, who is this for? When we come to the house of God and when we engage ourselves in the things that we engage ourselves, we ought to ask ourselves, whom am I doing this for? When we exclude ourselves from the activities of the church, how about that? We ought to ask ourselves, who is this for? When we desire to use what God has given us for the purposes of the church, we need to ask ourselves, whom is this for? I mean, it's a question that should be on the forefront of every one of our minds when I get out of the car to come into this place. Who am I here for? What am I doing this for? Is it about me or is it about them? Is it about me or is it about God?
Yeah, amen.
If we don't know, I'm telling you this, we will not give a distinction, but we will give uncertainty. And listen, we're going to communicate, but we're not going to be communicating that which is going to be to the use of edifying. We'll be communicating that which is to the glorification of our own selves. It's going to be uncertain. It's going to create chaos among the people of God, not to bring a distinctness to the house of God. Second question is this. Is what I do distinct or is it chaotic? Is what I do among the people of God, does it bring distinctness to come on, does it bring order? Does it allow that they would be very well known? What I do, is it distinct or is it uncertain? Does it bring order or does it bring, well, chaos? Some people can walk into a room. I'm telling you, you get a group of kids together and they can all be getting along and one kid can walk in the room and everything becomes chaotic. My wife says our kids are great as long as there's only two of them in the same room at a time. If you throw a third one in the room, there's going to be chaos that ensues. Only two at a time, right? She only wants to go to the store as long as she can take two kids. If she has to take more than two kids, she doesn't want to take any kids, right? When we come to the house of God, is what we do distinct or is it uncertain? You got to ask yourself that. Do I bring distinctness to the house of God or do I bring uncertainty to the house of God? And the question is this, are you here for self? Are you here for self edification or are you here to edify the body? That's going to be the difference. That's going to abjectly be the only difference between whether or not we are distinct or whether we are uncertain in the communication that we put off in our among ourselves and in this city and in this world. It'll be the only difference. We must have order in the church. Let's have our heads bowed this evening.